Welcome to the Islamic Talk Show.
Much wow, big amazing.
Where every week we learn something new about the medieval Muslim civilization. I am Professor Claude and welcome to this podcast. This is going to be so much fun. This week we are going to learn about Islamic technology. I'm joined by my co-host Sarah Nichols, and let's all give her a big round of applause. Thank you. The Golden Age lasted from 8th to 13th century. Pretty good fun fact, huh? The categories today will be inventions, medicine, and astronomy. Now moving on to Sarah to introduce our interviewees.
Today we are joined by two experts on Islamic technology. Their names are Dr. Lulu and Dr. Zipporah. With the help from these experts, we will go on a journey from the Umayyad Caliphate through the Ayyad Dynasty about the most interesting categories of Islamic technology and their impact in our world today. Before we begin, a big thanks to our sponsor, Tommy's Toilets. A good toilet is only one thought away. With new innovations for maximum flushing power to support heavy-duty situations. Thank you. Now let's begin.
Don't call me an
idiot. Welcome back to the show and welcome to our first segment. And in this segment, we will focus on famous Islamic technology. With me is our expert on Islamic inventions, Dr. Lulu. He's been studying Islamic inventions for most of his life. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
Also, who named you and what were they thinking?
And as it turns out, I'm a descendant of famed Muslim inventor Abbas ibn Firnas, who is credited with creating the first type of flying machine. And when my dad told me that, my first thought was, who is this guy? Then after some research, I was very interested and continued to pursue the research on Muslim inventions.
You kind of ignored my main question, but let's move on. That sounds very interesting, but on to the reason why you are actually here. I have prepared some questions that hopefully you have the answers to. So now let's leap right into it. I know that there were some Muslim inventions that really helped in improving personal hygiene, because I'm sure most people needed it. But what were these inventions that were created?
Well, for starters, they invented the toothbrush as well as soap, which we all know is very important for keeping good personal hygiene. I mean, most people use them, but the ones who don't are just plain nasty.
Well, now we know who to thank for those things. I'm sure everyone is grateful for doing four inventions. Well, now you have me interested. How did they make the toothbrush? Because I care so much.
Well, I'll tell you, these people were very advanced. They cut down branches and carved them, and what happens next, you really don't need to know.
Nice.
This toothbrush provided a baseline for the toothbrushes today.
Now I really want to know.
How about no? Next question.
Now that we did the super interesting toothbrush, how about the soap? How did they make that?
Well, the Muslims combined vegetable oils, sodium hydroxide, and thyme oils. So fun fact, the Muslims claim they needed to be clean to worship and read the Quran. Cleanliness is half of the faith.
Wow, I didn't know that. Such useful information. Moving out of the hygiene category into the paper category. Wait, didn't the Chinese make paper or something like that?
Well, yes, technically they did. But the Muslims are the unsung heroes of spreading the paper industry all throughout the globe. The Muslims got the idea from the Chinese after holding Chinese prisoners after a war. And the prisoners revealed the secret of paper making to the Muslims.
Very interesting.
What a fascinating story.
Yep, so fascinating. With the knowledge of paper making, what happened next? Hey, want to hear a joke?
No, please no. I've heard your jokes are garbage, and I'm pretty smart.
That joke and paper have one thing in common. They're pretty terrible.
Ha. Well, answering your question, the paper industry blew up. Shut up! Baghdad became the capital of the paper-making industry. And a paper mill was set up there.
Can you stop running during our podcast?
Just keep going. Do you have a date or time when the paper industry started?
So according to scriptures, the paper industry originally started around the 793 Common Era, during the Golden Age and during the Abbasid Caliphate.
That about concludes the paper section. Now let's move on to the flying machine, probably the latest of the inventions. Am I right?
No, not really.
Well,
Let's just start with the basic question. Who invented the first Muslim flying machine?
Well, Abbas in Farnas, my dead ancestor, who was an Andalusian inventor, physician, chemist, engineer, musician, and Arabic language poet. He lived during the Umayyad Caliphate of Cordoba in Islamic Spain. He was basically the Wright brothers, minus one, get that, of his generation.
I'm sure many of the listeners at home all have the same question I do. Did it work?
Sadly, no. He crashed, and he severely broke his back in many ways. However, this attempt and fail helps other inventors in later times to create their own flying machines. Though, this was not his only attempt. Being the brilliant inventor he was, he kept on trying.
Wow, sounds intense. Just before, you mentioned that this attempt helped other inventors to create their own flying machine. So how did the flying machine improve from then to now?
Well, obviously now, we have tons of flying machines, airplanes, helicopters, as well as not-motorized machines, like parasails and hang gliders. The hang glider, of all of them, is the closest in relation to the flying machine. However, the hang glider today actually works.
I've never seen anyone use a hang glider, but that's cool, I guess. Now moving on, didn't the Islamic people invent the magnifying glass?
The magnifying glasses were invented by Muslim scholar Abu al-Hasan from Basra. He discovered that the curved glass surfaces can be used for magnification, thus leading to the invention of the magnifying glass.
Who was naming these people? Anyway, I was curious about how they curved the glass.
So they, the Muslim inventors, melted the glass into a metal former to make the glass into the circle shape.
Obviously, with technology, there must be kind of reason why things were made. Nowadays, people have technology that they use every day. What kind of technology did the Muslims use every day?
Well, mills were used every day, as well as water-rising devices, were some of the inventions used for industries during the Golden Age.
I'm sure the average person did not have access to these things. So what did the average person have access to?
Well, so the average person had inventions that provided pleasure, novelty, or wonder, which is very important to any civilization. In modern terms, we all have phones, video game consoles, television, and so much more. Having this type of technology keeps people happy.
From prior knowledge, I know that water was very important to all civilizations. I know this because I'm very intelligent. I'm sure in this civilization they needed it. So how was water used in the Muslim civilization?
Water was very important. It helped with agriculture, it powered mills, pumps, and large water wheels.
Pumps like a green pump? Just kidding, chillax, kid. Did you mention before something about water-rising devices?
Yes. With their advanced technology, they were able to control the water flow in many different ways, mainly by irrigation lines.
With all of these inventions based on water, was there one water-based invention that was a big project? Oh, you need to go to the bathroom, Dr. Lulu? Okay. Dr. Savora, could you please fill in for these questions?
I got you. So really, it depends how you look at it. The bridge mill was obviously one of the biggest, based on length, width, and height, but it was one of those projects that was very important because...
So basically, it was just a big stick or something? Super cool. This is the end of the segment, and now Sarah and Dr. Savora will take it away with medicine.
So, why was that segment so long? My brain's about to explode. Got some water?
Oh, well.
Hello, listeners at home. We will begin our second segment with Dr. Zipporah, an Islamic expert with a PhD and specialization in Muslim history. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Zipporah.
I'm very happy to be here. So my immensely impressive knowledge on the history of Islamic technology. Took 3 years of college studying math before changing my major to Islamic history. Thank God I did. My brilliance has been brought out by the topic, and I have shared it with all my answers to any questions of their technological advancements in medicine, astronomy, and their inventions.
Great. In this segment, we'd like to focus on knowledge of the medicine that they had. First off, who was the most impactful medic during the Golden Age of Islam?
Well, the most known person of ancient Islam medicine was not only a doctor, but he was also an engineer. His name was Al-Zawari, and he made his mark in history. He is still often referred as the father of surgery. I don't call him that because I believe in Dr. Strange as the true father of everything relating to surgery.
On that note, how was Al-Zawari known by history today? What kinds of inventions did he create?
Well, history knows him as the father of surgery, though I still don't think of him as that. We have many revolutionary pieces that he made. But he doesn't really compete with Doctor Strange. That's a whole different topic for another day. He invented syringes, which I guess are pretty important, along the inventions of forceps, the surgical hook, and needle, and bone saws. I find his use of cat guts for stitches in the most impressive, because I find it very curious on how he found that out. For all you know, he was a really messed up guy.
Good to know. Continuing on, were there any other important figures in Islamic medicine besides Al-Zahri? Any lower status, well-known people?
Yes, a man named Al-Nafis knew that there were two halves of a heart and that they were being fed by capillaries 300 years before William Harvey even discovered it. Al-Nafis did all this without being able to dissect people because it was against the Muslim beliefs.
All of this was very interesting. Thank you for sharing your information with us. Is there anything else we should know?
They actually began to publish, to establish pharmacies during the Umayyad Caliphate in 700 CE. The medical buildings were called I never learned how to pronounce it, but it's spelled weird. While another culture would give space, herbs, ground mummies, etc., Islamic Saladis gave their patients things that would make them feel better.
Thanks again for joining us, Dr. Sabora. We will now transition into our next segment, astronomy. Welcome back to another segment with Dr. Lulu and yours truly. In this segment, we will be talking about Islam's advancements in medieval astronomy. Very interesting, and I'm sure you guys will be fascinated. 100%.
We sure are! Now I'd like to study... Not like I study inventions or anything else, but, you know, sure!
Thanks for the confidence, Doctor. So let's just get some background for some of our listeners. Did they make any advancements in astronomy during their golden age? Sorry for that intrusion. So, Dr. Sephora, would you like to get back to the question?
Yes, I'm sorry, sir. I do know that they were copying and learning from the work of other civilizations' previous knowledge. That's how they were able to get most of their knowledge, and they would find textbooks and get their knowledge from them, hence getting their knowledge from other civilizations.
Do you know what civilizations got these texts from, and how did they understand them if they were written in a different language?
They actually got a large amount of them from translating texts. Most texts came from the Sanskrit and Indo-European language, Pahlavi, an Iranian language, Greek, a European language, and one I can't remember right now, that translated all back to Arabic so that scholars could better understand it. From there, they would expand on that knowledge.
With this research, what knowledge was unlocked, so to say? Did this lead to any major advancements?
Well, they were able to calculate the positions of many heavenly bodies. They were even created tables or graphs to record the movements of the sun, moon, and the five planets known at the time. That shows their connection to everything in their strict religion.
Strict indeed. I assume this isn't the only way they got their information?
Good question! They used some Bedouin traditions and the knowledge of astronomy. They were able to access information on the locations of fixed stars and the passage of the sun and moon through zodiac signs.
They also had knowledge on seasons and phenomena associated with the seasons.
I can't imagine that they were able to observe the stars and planets as little specks in the sky, right? How else would they better see them?
They made platforms and other astronomical machines. Sorry.
That's very vague for such a self-acclaimed genius.
Well, they did create celestial globes to help see the positions of the stars and planets.
Well, now we got to go. Thanks for the help, Doctor. Now I want to do some more vague questions to test your knowledge.
By now, we have covered a lot of things about Islamic technology. However, we still need to discuss the technology's impact on our daily lives. Dr. Zipporah, do you have any ideas?
Well, medicine was very useful for all the Islamic and Muslim people as it kept them alive. Because of Al-Zahri, their advancements in surgery were amazing for Muslim legacies, as Al-Zahri was even called the father of surgery. Another thing that their technology impacted was their daily life, was hygiene. By creating and using a toothbrush, they had a way to keep their mouth cleaner and their teeth healthier. The soap did the same thing, but because they must have sweat a lot, you know, it being such an extreme climate that they were in, it also could have improved their social standings. Due to their advancements in irrigation, they were probably able to supply all types of people with water, and this was truly helpful when it came to bathing and drinking with soap and even toothbrushes, that everything that involved water. Most of the other inventions at the time were sciences that, in fact, that affected scientists.
That's a great way to put it, Doc. Thanks for sharing with us, and we'd like to now move on to the next segment, where I will be talking to Dr. Lulu.
You're welcome.
Hello, Dr. Lulu. Let's jump right into the next question. How did their ancient technology affect our current-day technology or inventions?
The inventions that were created by the medieval Muslims helped provide a baseline for modern-day inventions. Papermaking became more and more as useful as time went on, and nowadays paper is created without even thought, as well as being used everywhere. Another invention that was very beneficial and was important to the flying machine was the flying machine, created by a Muslim inventor, Abbas ibn Firnas. Sorry, I've never been good with that. He made several attempts by attaching the cloak to wooden struts and jumping from the minaret of the Grand Mosque in Cordoba, as well as later in life when he had much better material but jumped from a mountain. This inventor's design was copied from a well-known Renaissance man, Leonardo da Vinci, and we all know from Leonardo's inventions led to the Wright brothers' first airplane and the airplane industry that took off from there.
Is that it? Dr. Zipporah mentioned more about medical instruments. Can you expand on that?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Al-Zahari did invent many surgical tools that we use nowadays. A very important invention was a syringe, which doctors have been using for a while now, and treating and preventing billions of diseases. Syringes have saved tons of lives, and we have Al-Zahari to thank. He had other inventions that have been outdated, but doctors have evolved on his basics. Instead of using cat guts as stitches, doctors used other synthetic items that made cat guts so unique at the time.
Well, that's all the time we have here for this segment. As I pass the football to Casey with this interview with Dr. Zipporah. It's great to finally meet you, Dr. Zipporah. Let's indulge into that vast mind of yours with the first question. What are some of the best Islamic creations at the time?
Dr. Lulu did touch up on this very well, but there is more than he just said in my mind. Their creations in medicine were some of the best of their time. While having a great surgeon, Al-Zahari, they were very efficient when it came to people needing medical help. They also had great doctors that figured out how viruses work, or at least an outline of how they worked. They were able to figure out that diseases such as leprosy and smallpox were transmitted from person to person. This allowed them to be more cautious and learn how people got sick. Some of those great doctors, whose name were not documented in history, also began to use antiseptics, such as alcohol or rose water, to keep wounds as clean as possible. This was not commonly known in their time, as they just wanted their patients to feel better, but by just giving them drugs that would usually release dopamine. Of course, they didn't know that it released dopamine at the time. They first discovered the human circulatory system about 300 years before the man credited with the discovery. This just shows their understanding for the human body. And unlike Christianity, who shunned those who were sick as justifying it as a punishment from God, the Muslim prophets said that those who were sick were to be cared for, as they considered sickness another problem just for mankind to solve. They even recognized opium's good job at stunning pain and would dose it to patients when they do long surgeries, usually on teeth. They were very good at astronomy and very efficient translators. They translated many Greek, Syriac, Sanskrit, and Pahlavi writings into Arabic for them to know, and it allowed these documents to not only get last in history, but for them to understand the knowledge of those peoples. This was very important in their strong knowledge of astronomy and even medicine. They expanded on the knowledge of the texts that they translated by finding the estimates of where the heavenly areas were. They also created tables to track the patterns of the sun, moon, and five planets known at the time. Those were the primary discoveries of the Islamic people at the time.
Well, my mind just consumed a lot of brain food, am I right? Hope our listeners took notes, because I'm sure they don't remember much of what you said. Thanks, Doctor. With that, we will be ending our podcast. Tune in tomorrow, where we'll interview leading dentists talking about tooth bunions.